मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपा तं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्यईश्वरं. सो वंस अगेन वेलकम फॉर द थर्सडे ईवनिंग भागवतम सेशन टाइटल्ड नित्यं भागवत सेवय. श्रीमद् भागवतम इज ग्रंथावतार. सो व्हेन लॉर्ड श्री कृष्णा when he ascended back to Goloka Vrindavan, it is said that he left behind his avatar, his incarnation, called as Grantha Avatar, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, to read Srimad Bhagavatam, to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, it basically means understanding Krishna. Now, how can a conditioned soul like us, who is fallen in this material world, who is sinful, lifetime after lifetime committing sins after sins after sins, and the mind is so undisturbed all the time, and so many other activities we are involved in, how can we understand Krishna? How is it possible? So the conclusion is, we cannot understand Krishna, we cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. But then there is another conclusion. Very nicely it is said in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Atha Shri Krishna Namadi न भवेत् ग्राह्यम् इन्द्रिये सेवोन्मुखे हि जिह्वादो स्वयम् एव स्फुरत्यदा. इफ कृष्णा रिवील्स हिमसेल्फ टू अस देन वी विल बी एबल टू अंडरस्टैंड हिम और इट्स नॉट पॉसिबल. इट इज नॉट अ मैथ फॉर्मूला, ए प्लस बी द होल स्क्वायर, ए स्क्वायर प्लस बी स्क्वायर प्लस टू ए बी. नो, लाइक 10 टाइम्स वी टेल एंड वी रिमेंबर द फॉर्मूला, बट नाउ व्हेन वी आर रीडिंग श्रीमद् भागवतम or hearing a discourse on Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not that we hear it n number of times and we'll get it. It's about the mercy of the Lord that is needed. It is the mercy of Guru that is needed, by whose mercy we'll be able to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. So we pray intensely to their lordships, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, to Panchatattva, to entire Guru Parampara, Srila Prabhupada and our spiritual masters, that they shower their choicest blessings onto all of us, so that we'll be able to understand at least a particle of the drop of the entire ocean of Srimad Bhagavatam. So hope we all are aware what is happening, you know, what is the scene that we're discussing. It's a pastime of Ajamil. A person who has been enjoying till the age of 85. Now he's of the age of 88. He has got a son who is less than 5 years, and fortunately, by Lord's mercy, he has named his son Narayan. But entire life, he got attached to his son so much. So now, at the time of death, at the age of 88, when he's lying on the deathbed, and when three Yamadutas come there to take him, at that time, looking at their horrifying looks, Ajamil loudly shouted, calling out his son, who is nearby playing, Narayana. And Narayana, 4 syllables, and there were 4 Vishnu Dutas who came there. Yamadutas had put Yamapasha, that put the rope around the neck of, obviously, they were pulling out the soul from the body. And here comes Vishnu Dutas, and they cut that Yamapasha. Now, Yamadutas were very much disturbed, thinking, who are these people? They look so beautiful, but why are they coming and hindering in the jurisdiction of Yamaraj? Who are they? Then they started asking questions. Whose servants are you? Are you some demigods? Are you some sub-demigods? Who are you? And after all these questions, then Vishnudutas, they answered. And then they asked few questions. Tell us, what is actually the religion? Now, just imagine Ajamil's situation. Ajamil is on the deathbed. One side Yamadutas, another side Vishnudutas. Yamadutas asking question to Vishnudutas. Vishnudutas are answering, and they are asking question to Yamadutas. Look at, just think about Ajamil's situation. One look at this side, and then he's looking at this. And now Ajamil might be thinking, who is going to win? I don't know. Will I go to hell with the Yamadutas, or will I go to Vaikuntha with the Vishnudutas? Ajamil was just looking on both the sides. This is what we can visualize. So after the questions posted by Vishnudutas, now Yamadutas are going to answer. Very, very important answers which Yamadutas are going to give. These answers will actually help us to progress very fast in Krishna consciousness. Because Yamadutas are going to tell us that who are the people who will actually go to hell and the ones who will not go to hell? Who are the people whom we don't touch? So these are the different points that Yamadutas are going to make. So let's see that one by one now. So we are here at shloka number 40. Yamaduta Uchuhu. So we'll start from here. The Yamadutas replied. So basically the question is, what is religion? So they are answering the question. That which is prescribed in the Vedas constitutes dharma, the religious principles, and the opposite of that is religion. The Vedas are directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan and are self-born. This we have heard from Yamaraj. A very nice answer. Let's see what is the purport that Prabhupada is giving. The servants of Yamaraj replied quite properly. They did not manufacture principles of religion or irreligion. Instead, they explained what they have heard from the authority Yamaraj. Mahajano yena gathasya pantaha. One should follow the Mahajan, the authorized person. Yamaraj is one of the 12 authorities. Therefore, the servants of Yamaraj, the Yamadutas, replied with perfect clarity when they said, Shushruma, we have heard. The members of modern civilization manufacture defective religious principles through the speculative concoction. This is not dharma. They do not know what is dharma and what is adharma. Therefore, as stated in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, dharma prajita kaita vatra. Dharma not supported by the Vedas is rejected from Srimad Bhagavat Dharma. Bhagavad Dharma comprises only that which is given by Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhagavad Dharma is Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam Raja. One must accept the authority of Supreme Personality of Godhead and surrender to Him and whatever He says. That is Dharma. Arjuna, for example, thinking that violence was adharma, was declining to fight. But Krishna urged him to fight. Arjuna abided by the orders of Krishna, and therefore he is actually a dharmi, because the order of Krishna is dharma. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa sarver ahameva vedyaha. The real purpose of Veda, knowledge, is to know me. One who knows Krishna perfectly is liberated. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 4:9, Janma karma chame divyam evam yo veti tattvatah tyaktva deham punarjanma naiti mam iti. So Arjuna, one who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode. O Arjuna, one who understands Krishna and abides by his order is a candidate for returning home back to Godhead. It may be concluded that dharma, religion, refers to that which is ordered by the Vedas, and adharma, irreligion, refers to that which is not supported by the Vedas. Dharma is not actually manufactured by Narayan. As stated in Vedas, asya mahato bhutasya nishvasitam etad yag rigvedah iti. The injunctions of dharma emanate from the breathing of Narayan, the supreme living entity. Narayan exists eternally and breathes eternally, and therefore dharma, the injunctions of Narayan, also exist eternally. Srila Madhvacharya, the original acharya of those who belong to Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, says, Vedanam pramato vakta harir eva yato vibhu ato vishnavatma ka de veda ityahur vedavadinah. The transcendental words of the Vedas emanated from the mouth of Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Vedic principles should be understood to be Vaishnava principles, because Vishnu is the origin of the Vedas. The Vedas contain nothing besides the instructions of Vishnu. And one who follows the Vedic principle is a Vaishnav. The Vaishnav is not a member of manufactured community of this material world. A Vaishnav is a real knower of the Vedas, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Vedaischa sarver ahameva vedyaha. So very nicely, Prabhupada has elaborated on this topic of what is dharma and what is adharma. This word dharma nowadays is used, you know, very, very casually. And people say, this is my dharma, that is my dharma, this, that, etc., etc. The only dharma of the living entity is, ಜೀವೇರ ಸ್ವರೂಪ್ ಹೋಯ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣೇರ ನಿತ್ಯ ದಾಸ್. ಅವರ್ ಧರ್ಮ ಇಸ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಸರ್ವೆಂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸೊ ವಾಟ್ ಡಸ್ ಅ ಸರ್ವೆಂಟ್ ಡೂ? ಅ ಸರ್ವೆಂಟ್ ಸರೆಂಡರ್ಸ್ ಆನ್ ಟು ದ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಸರ್ವ ಧರ್ಮಾನ್ ಪರಿತ್ಯಜ್ಯ ಮಾಂ ಏಕಂ ಶರಣಂ ವ್ರಜ ಅಹಂ ತ್ವಾಂ ಸರ್ವ ಪಾಪೇಭ್ಯೋ ಮೋಕ್ಷ ಇಷ್ಯಾಮಿ ಮಾ ಸುಚ. ಸೊ ಬೇಸಿಕಲಿ ದ ಧರ್ಮ ಆಫ್ ದ ಲಿವಿಂಗ್ ಎಂಟಿಟಿ ಇಸ್ ಟು ಸರೆಂಡರ್ ಆನ್ ಟು ದ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಫೀಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ಅಂಡ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್, ಈಸ್ ಮಾಂ ಏಕಂ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಆನ್ ಟು ಮೀ, ಈಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಕ್ಲಿಯರ್. He is not saying that we have to surrender not to this devata, that devata, to this person, that person. No, he is very clear. We have to surrender on to Krishna. Obviously, unfortunately, those people who don't have enough pious, enough spiritual credits, which is called as Sukriti technically, such people cannot surrender to Krishna. In one of the purports, Srila Prabhupada writes that sinful people or impious people cannot surrender to Krishna. Very difficult. But then we all belong to that class, sinful class, because none of us are spared. If the proof is why we are in the age of Kali Yuga, because we have committed sin. That is the proof. We being in Kali Yuga itself shows that we are sinful. Then how can we surrender to Krishna? By the mercy of a pure devotee. By the mercy of a pure devotee, we can surrender on to Krishna by their prayers. By their blessings, we'll be able to surrender on to Krishna. Or else it's very difficult. Very difficult. Many times, this is a very unfortunate thing, but I would like to put here. By the way, I forgot to give the disclaimer. These sessions are only for those people who want to intensify the devotional service. So if any newcomer is watching, please log off immediately. If you hear these classes, you'll go out of bhakti. This is only for those people who have attended Gita course or mantra meditation or those sessions. Because these sessions are really very intense. And I'm on fourth gear in these sessions. Gita course, mantra meditation, first gear, second gear, max third gear. But Bhagavatam is all fourth gear. So it's throughout. So see, when it comes to dharma, people say that, oh, it's my dharma. I'm a wife of so-and-so husband. I'm a mother of so-and-so kids. Sometimes kids say that, oh, my dharma is, I'm the son of so-and-so father, so-and-so mother. And then sometimes more dharmas come. My dharma is, I'm a friend of so-and-so person. And I'm a relative of so-and-so person. At times what happens is, people who are not very much intense in the devotional service, they make useless reasons saying, oh, I have to take care of this person, I have to take care of that person, oh, I cannot practice bhakti because of this, because of that. Human life is given only for one thing, only for one reason, to practice devotional service. To be very frank, there is no other goal in human form of life apart from rendering devotional service to Krishna. Now you might ask, Prabhuji, but we go to office. Our kids might ask, Prabhuji, we go to school. So what about all that? That is just, we are just passing time, that's it. Nothing else. And that is also needed because we have to maintain this body. So we need some money. We need some engagement for the mind. So we are doing all that. But that is all side business. This has to be understood very clearly. Like sometimes people have a job and to earn more money, they do some side business so that they can get more money. Similarly, the actual thing that should be done in life is bhakti to Lord Krishna, devotional service to Lord Krishna. And the side business is going to office, going to school, college, whatever, taking care of this body. All that is side business. This has to be understood very clearly. So mainstream of our life is doing devotional service to Krishna. But at times what happens is, people in the name of dharma, they say that my dharma is to take care of this relative, these parents, these kids, these husband, this wife or whatever, my siblings and etc., etc. So, I'll give up practicing bhakti. They are more important for me. They are more important for me. But the fact of life is, no one is important for us as compared to Krishna. Why? Because no one will come at the time of death. No one. No one. We'll be lying on the deathbed and we'll be looking here and there. No, we cannot speak also at that time. It is said that kapha pitta vayu block all the holes of the body, 9 holes. So we're looking and we are, from our eyes only, we are calling them, please help me, please, I'm in pain, please help me, please help me. But who can help? Who can help? No one can help. Who in this world has the power not to remove a person or help the person to escape death? No one. Because everyone in this world is bound very tightly in the clutches of birth and death. Everyone is going through that cycle, one after another after another. It's just a cycle. So there's no one who can actually help us. So no one is so important for us, you know, in our life. But then, since we have relationship, we have to do justice. We have to take care of them. We have to do some service or whatever. But the important thing is, in all this, I cannot think of giving up Krishna consciousness or bhakti, saying, oh, no, this, you know, this is more important for me to take care of this particular relationship. This is more important for me than, you know, bhakti. If we are doing that, then we are FOOLNO.1. Fool number one. Why? We might, no, you might say, Prabhuji, fool number one. I've done B.Tech, M.Tech, PhD, double PhD. What are you talking about? You know what is my package? You know, in my company, how much I earn? Whatever it is, how does that matter? How does that matter what we are? Finally, we're going to leave everything here and go alone, you know, to another place. I always say this. Even if the person does PhD, next life he has to again start from ABC. It will not be like, oh, I did PhD last life, so let me continue. No, I'll do post-doctorate in next life. No. So the point that I'm trying to make is, we cannot give excuse saying, this is more important for me, so I'll not practice bhakti. Now, many times I've heard this. So I'm just highlighting this point because many times I've heard this from many people. Prabhuji, currently my dharma is I'm supposed to do this. Currently my dharma is I'm supposed to do this. Currently my dharma is I'm supposed to do this. There'll be n number of things in the list, depending on the situation and circumstance. But one thing you have to understand is, there is no other dharma except being the servant of Krishna and doing devotional service to Krishna. We have to be very clear on this path, in this aspect. Very clear. We can never ever think that I will compromise on bhakti to do something else. In fact, we should be more competent enough to do both the things together. But then we can never ever give up bhakti. This is what is the point. Because dharma, very clearly Yamadutas are saying, what is dharma? Dharma is to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is dharma. And service means what? Practicing bhakti, devotional service. So chanting, reading, hearing, doing some practical service. All these things, deity worship and whatever other angas are there of bhakti, we cannot give up any of them. If we think of giving up also, then we are the most unintelligent people on this earth. So when Arjuna was asked by Krishna that go and fight, and Arjuna was giving n number of reasons. Now when I'm recording these shloka day videos, I'm just getting in deeper into each shloka and seeing what exactly is the mood of Arjuna and what is the mood of Krishna. In so many shlokas, Arjuna's mood is, oh, thank God you're saying this. I need not fight. And Krishna immediately in the next shloka, he says, no, you have to fight. Mm-hmm. So in this way, we see that Arjuna has some opinion of his own, thinking my dharma is something else. But Krishna makes it very clear, your dharma, O Arjuna, is to fight. No, but fighting, how come fighting is dharma? Because I'm telling you. Well, you are telling me what is the big thing. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. I am Krishna. I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whatever I speak, that is dharma. So in this way, we need to understand that what Krishna has spoken in Bhagavad Gita, now that is what is dharma. And that's what Arjuna did. So we say that Arjuna followed the dharma. He killed his relatives. But then he is glorified very nicely because he followed the dharma. What is dharma? What is spoken by Krishna? That is one definition. And some equivalent definition is our dharma or our constitutional position or swarupa is we are servant of Krishna. So we have to follow what Krishna is saying. And Krishna is very clear throughout Bhagavad Gita. Practice bhakti. Surrender unto me. Remember me. Worship me. Give everything to me. So he's very clear. So as devotees, we should always have this checkpoint. Am I deviating from my dharma of being servant of Krishna? Am I doing something else apart from serving Krishna? Am I giving something else the priority as compared to doing devotional service to Krishna? And you know what? It will not be surprising that we will have so many other things in the list, in the priority, and Krishna will be somewhere down. And what is devotional service? What are we doing currently, practicing devotional service? It's all about pulling Krishna's position up in the priority list and giving Krishna the first priority. Who are the people who are one-pointed devotees? The ones who have Krishna on the first priority. Come what may, Krishna will take care. I will do bhakti, whatever it is. Come what may. This confidence, in India, I always call it, this kida should be there. This worm should be there inside. To put Krishna in the first priority and come what may, I'll practice bhakti. Yes, we need to be fanatic at times, not to make sure our sadhana goes well and things like that. Yes. So in this way, we need not worry too much about so many other things and ignore devotional service. This is what is the point that I'm trying to make. Because finally, religion is being the servant of Krishna. Sarva dharman parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami masucha. So in this way, when we follow what Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, then we are actually following dharma. Let's hope now what is dharma is clear to everyone. Now next time we'll not speak this saying my dharma is this, my dharma is that. My dharma is I'm servant of Krishna. I have to serve Krishna. I have to do devotional service and follow what Krishna is saying. Let's see what else Yamadutas are saying here in the next shloka. The supreme cause of all causes, Narayan, is situated in his own abode in the spiritual world. But nevertheless, he controls the entire cosmic manifestation according to three modes of material nature. Sattva guna, Rajo guna and Tamo guna. In this way, all living entities are awarded different qualities, different names, such as Brahmana, Kshatriya and Vaishya. Different duties according to Varnashrama, institution and different forms. Thus, Narayan is the cause of entire cosmic manifestation. Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate, natat shamas chabhyadikas cha drishyate, parasya shaktir vividhai vashruyate, swabhaviki jnana bala kriya cha, Shvetashvatara Upanishad. Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is almighty, omnipotent. He has multifarious energies and therefore he is able to remain in his own abode and without endeavor supervise and manipulate the entire cosmic manifestation through the interaction of three modes of material nature, Sattva Guna, Raja Guna and Tamo Guna. These interactions create different forms, bodies, activities and changes, which all occur perfectly. Because the Lord is perfect, everything works as if he were directly supervising and taking part in it. Atheistic men, however, being covered by the three modes of material nature, cannot see Narayan to be the supreme cause behind all activities, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:13, Tribhir guna mahir bhavair ebihi sarvam idam jagat mohitam nabhi janati mam ebhyah paramam param avyayam. Deluded by the three modes, the whole world does not know me, who am above the modes and inexhaustible. Because unintelligent agnostics are mohita, illusioned by the three modes of material nature, they cannot understand that Narayan, Krishna, is the supreme cause of all activities. As stated in Brahma Samhita, Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govindaha Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. So here, very important philosophical point is made. It says that Lord is above three modes of material nature. This is repeated many times in Bhagavatam. Why is it so important to understand that Lord is above three modes of material nature? So all of us are in three modes of material nature. Sometimes mode of goodness is leading, so we are very nice, like demigods, devatas. Sometimes mode of passion is leading. Now we go crazy, we just run around. Sometimes mode of ignorance is leading and we are like demons and rakshasas at times. So what is happening basically? We are changing. Our mood is changing. And sometimes people call it as mood swings. Oh, this person has too much of mood swings. So the mood is changing, the behavior of the person is changing. You know what happens? In our day-to-day life, when we take shelter of someone, in this world. Anyone for that matter. Sometimes we take shelter of parents. Sometimes we take shelter of spouse, of kids, friends, colleagues, relatives, whoever it is. We take shelter of them. And then it is a known fact. Many, many people in the past have experienced, and we are also experiencing, all of us, that the mood of the person changes like anything. And then we start thinking, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with him? You have changed so much. Have you heard the statements? You have changed so much. The fact of life is, in this world, everything is going to change. Because this world is ashashvatam. Everything in this world is going to change. Nothing is permanent. Even the mood of the person, person himself, his behavior, everything is going to change. So when we take shelter of such people, I mean anyone in this world, all the mortal beings, what happens is, at times we're dejected and we suffer like anything because of the change of the person's behavior or mood. And we then we start switching our shelter also. Then we are taking shelter of someone, then we shift, we take shelter of someone else, and someone else, and someone else. So the point that I'm trying to make here is, there is no shelter in this world that is permanent. Because everyone is acting in the three modes of material nature. Who will behave how is a big question mark. Sometimes a person who is very nice, whom we call as best friend, becomes worst of the worst enemy. I'm sure many of you might have experienced this. Some relative who is very close to heart suddenly changes and becomes the enemy. And then people make statement that I'll never see your face. Even when you die, I'll not come, whatever. So the point that I'm trying to make here is, since we are under three modes of material nature, we all will keep changing. So whom to surrender on to? Whom to take shelter of? Because we all need shelter. We take shelter of our boss. We take shelter of a house which is led by someone. Now we take shelter of so many people to fulfill our emotional needs and social needs and all that. But then at times we get dejected. So whose shelter to take? We should take shelter of that person who is above three modes of material nature. And who is above three modes of material nature? Krishna. Krishna is above three modes of material nature. So when someone is above three modes of material nature, then that person will not be influenced by all these problems of three modes. The person will remain as he is, unchanged. So one of the quality of Krishna is, he's unchanged. He's always there as he is. When it comes to his mood, when it comes to his behavior, when it comes to his dealings, reciprocation, he is the same personality. So when we take shelter of Krishna, what happens? That shelter remains permanent because Krishna will never ever change. He will remain the same person. So it is said, the only thing or the only shelter that we can take in this world is the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. There is nothing else or no one in this world is eligible and qualified to give a shelter. No one. So it's a very important point to understand that we have to take shelter of Krishna in every situation. See, what are we doing every day? So when we're chanting the holy names, when we're reading, now when you're hearing discourses along with your dinner and all the gossip and other things. So what are we doing actually? We are trying to take shelter of Krishna. We are practicing to take shelter of Krishna. And this practice that we are doing will actually help us that on that particular day when everything in our life will go crazy. Everyone's life is going to happen. No one will be spared. Everyone's life, this will happen where everything will go crazy. We'll feel as if, there's no one for me. I'm completely alone, completely hollow. This is what we'll feel. There'll be some situations where everyone will go through that. Because of our past karma and other things. So in such situations, when we are going through some critical phase of life, this practice that we are doing will actually help us at that time. We'll continue taking shelter even at that point. This is still okay. And then when we continue doing this, we are used to taking shelter of Krishna, and at the time of death, we take shelter of Krishna. This is exactly the practice that we are doing every single day to take shelter of Krishna. And Krishna is a person who will never change. He is not in mode of goodness, nor in passion, nor in ignorance. He is above all the three modes in Shuddha Sattva, that is mode of pure goodness. And mode of pure goodness, people will never change. Krishna and his dear associates, all the pure devotees who are there, they are always above the three modes of material nature. and they're eligible to give shelter to all of us. So we always say that Prabhupada, you know, when he went to West to give this message of Krishna consciousness, he remained the same personality, same merciful personality, ready to distribute mercy to anyone and everyone. Even those people who would insult Srila Prabhupada, even those people who will argue with Srila Prabhupada, those people who will speak something ill about Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada was cool. He would just give mercy to everyone. Sometimes his mercy would be in terms of, in the way of chastising, and sometimes his mercy would be speaking some kind words, but he was merciful. And this was seen. All the people who came in touch with Srila Prabhupada, they were elevated in their consciousness up. Even when it comes to Krishna, what happens? Anyone who comes in touch with Krishna gets purified. How? Because he's an unchangeable personality. Okay, person who comes with mood of bhakti will get purified, we understand, because he'll offer patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam. He'll do devotional service. But what about those people who are atheistic, who are demons? So when it comes to devotees, Krishna blesses. And when it comes to the demons, he slaps. And both the cases, Krishna is touching, so person gets purified. So this is the merciful nature of the Lord, the unchanging nature of the Lord. Those people are intelligent who take shelter of Krishna. And those people are extremely unintelligent who take shelter of anything other than Krishna. And now when we're practicing bhakti, get ready. Krishna will be putting us into some tests where he'll test. Oh, let me see. Let me see if this person is taking shelter of me or taking shelter of someone else. So just now while having dinner, we were discussing about Russian devotees. So in Russia, at one point of time, there were iron curtains. No other religion can be practiced. And our devotees were beaten like anything. Some devotees were beaten till death. And there were times, you know, when there was a proper test that was there in their life. What was the test? There were some devotees who would constantly keep chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Your cops are beating them, but they're not stopping. They're going on chanting. They're just saying, you stop chanting. You stop chanting and we'll leave you. But then these devotees would not agree. They would just go on chanting. They were like, you kill us, no problem. We cannot stop taking shelter of Krishna. Just see how much faith people have, devotees have, to take shelter of Krishna, even when they are beaten black and blue. Even when they were put behind bars, they were still taking shelter of Krishna. Haridas Thakur, he was beaten in 22 marketplaces. And he was not stopping to chant at all. All the time he's chanting the Mahamantra, taking shelter of Krishna. Draupadi, she was put in such a great test. Whose shelter did she take? There were like 5 husbands who were like very strong. All of them were Maharathi. They could tackle anyone and everyone on the battlefield. And she looked at all of them and then she said, all useless people. I have to take shelter of Krishna only. And she called out, oh Govinda, oh Murari, oh Hari. Uttara, the mother of Abhimanyu. The wife of Abhimanyu, mother of Parikshit. She came running when Brahmastra was shot by Ashwatthama. She came running to Krishna. Pahi pahi mahayogin deva deva jagatpate. She came running. All her father-in-laws were standing there. Fathers-in-law were standing there. Yudhishthir was there. Dharmaraj, you know, he's the personality who would follow Dharma very properly. Arjun was there. Bhima, Nakula, Sahadev, all of them were standing there. But Uttara, she came running and whose shelter she took? She took shelter of Krishna. Prahlad, he took shelter of Krishna in each and every dangerous situation that he was put in. And even when he was not put in any dangerous situation, all the time he would take shelter of Krishna. So in this way, throughout we see our Shastra that people took shelter of Krishna. And such people were actually successful. They emerged successful in terms of advancing in Krishna consciousness and going back home, back to Godhead. But when it comes to us, the question is, am I taking shelter of Krishna or not in each and every situation? Or am I trying to act smart, taking shelter of something else? So this is the question that we have to analyze. And we have to tell ourselves, if I'm not taking shelter of Krishna, I will be dejected in life. Because everything is going to change. Every person whom I'm in touch with in my life is going to change. Currently, the person who is extremely good, whose shelter I have taken, and I call that person to be my close friend or whatever, that person is going to change. There's only one close friend. Surudam Sarva Bhutanam, 529 Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the eternal well-wishing friend of everyone. So, he is the only shelter. There is no one else who can actually give us permanent shelter. So, it's very important to understand or to know that Krishna is above three modes of material nature. So, he is that unchanging shelter which we all can take throughout our life, right from start till the end. Let's see what Yamadutas are going to say now after this particular point of three modes of material nature. The sun, fire, sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and super soul, himself, all witness the activities of the living entity. So all the ones who feel that when I'm in an empty room, no one is seeing. When I'm in an empty place, no one is seeing. So these are the witness. Who are they? The sun, fire, sky, air, demigods, moon, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and super soul himself. So there are 13 of them who are acting like 24/7 CCTV camera. Now, if we miss anything and everything, how can we miss air? Yes, how can we miss air? And what about super soul? How can we miss super soul? They will be there all the time. What about the directions? How will we miss the directions? Let's see what's Prabhupada saying here. The members of some religious sects, especially Christians, do not believe in the reactions of karma. We once had a discussion with a learned Christian professor who argued that although people are generally punished after the witnesses of their misdeeds are examined, where are the witnesses responsible for one suffering the reactions of past karma? To such a person, the answer by the Yamadutas is given here. A conditioned soul thinks that he is working stealthily, and that no one can see his sinful activities, but we can understand from the Shastras that there are many witnesses, including the sun, fire, sky, air, moon, demigods, evening, day, night, directions, water, land, and super soul himself. Who sits with the individual soul within his heart? Where is the dearth of witnesses? The witnesses and the Supreme Lord both exist. And therefore, so many living entities are elevated to higher planetary systems or degraded to lower planetary systems, including the hellish planets. There are no discrepancies, for everything is arranged perfectly by the management of Supreme God. So, bhava ki jnana bala kriya cha. The witnesses mentioned in this verse are also mentioned in the other Vedic literatures. So, this verse talks about the 13 witnesses, you know, who are there. So, this is a very, very important point that all of us have to note. We are not alone. We are not alone anytime. We are always under watch. 24/7, there are many, many people who are watching. When we are sleeping, when we are awake, when we are doing any activity, there is a watch that is kept on all of us. Many times, so many materialists, they say, that why you people follow, you know, all these things? Hare, come on, enjoy life. Life is meant for enjoyment. If you don't enjoy, you know, what sort of life are you living? Come on, enjoy. Don't think so much. Last time we were talking, right, about drinking alcohol, eating meat and all that. Hare, come on, do it. You know, life is meant for all this. The many slogans are also there. Enjoy the ice cream before it melts. Enjoy with this body before the body melts. So the point is that such people feel that no one is watching. Firstly, they don't want to believe in God. And since they don't believe in God, they're least bothered about believing whatever else, whatever they want to. Now, when all of us are practicing bhakti, every now and then we'll have some people who will tell us, "Arey, this is all bogus, useless, no use of doing all these things." See, ISKCON people are saying this. Those people are saying that. This organization is saying this. Muslims are saying this. Christians are saying this. Everyone is saying something or the other. Why believe in anything? You know, who knows what is true and what is not? Better give up everything and follow your mind. They say, no, live your life the king size. My life, my highway. My life, my way. So many things people say. And I'm sure many of you will come across, you know, such people who will make such statements. But one thing we have to understand is that what we are following according to the Vedic scriptures is the best thing. And this particular thing that we are following is flawless. Because it is actually telling us that how to lead a very, very holistic life. How to lead a pure life. And why is it so needed? Because every action of ours is accounted, Baba. It's not that we are just, it's not that no one is watching us. There are 13 entities who are watching us all the time. And see, it makes sense also, because entire life, what we did, finally, you know, at the end, some decision has to be made where this person should go. Should this person go to some animal body, some worm body, some bird body, some reptile body, or he should go to some heavenly planet or hellish planet? So all this decision has to be made. And for this, witness is needed. Mm-hmm. Like when the judge, when he gives a judgment, he will first call for the witness. Only if witness is there, then he'll give a judgment. So similarly, the material nature has got these wonderful witnesses, obviously under the direction of Krishna. And these wonderful witnesses, they actually give the witness for persons, all the activities that he has done right from childhood, from the age of, say, 11 or whatever, when he gets matured, till the last breath. Mm-hmm. And all these witnesses, suppose Yamraj is telling us that you did this particular thing. You remember when you were in college, what you did in the hostel room? I remember. And we are like, no, I didn't do anything. You're lying. And Yamraj is like, okay, chalo, I have witnessed. Chalo, 13 people come. And all 13 are there. And like, yes, he did it. Yes, he did it. This is exactly what happens. There we cannot lie. Like, for example, when we have done something nonsense in our life, some sinful activity, when parents are asking, did you do it? No, we are following the footsteps of Krishna, right? When Mother Yashoda asked him, did you eat mud? Kanha, did you eat mud? No, Maya, I didn't. And he's not speaking also. Mud is there in the mouth. How will he speak? But Krishna, when he tells lie, it's to give, it gives pleasure to everyone. And when we give, when we say lie, or when we lie, it gives pleasure to everyone who's being witness. Kill this person. Put him to hell. Right. So the point that I'm trying to make here is that we might have escaped till now. Till now, we all might have escaped from our parents, from some authorities or whatever. But we cannot escape from this universal administration. We cannot escape from these 13 entities who are there, who are having proper, who are like proper witness to all our activities. We cannot escape. So better live a holistic life. Yes. See, there are different ways of practicing bhakti. The lowest one is fear. Oh, if I don't do this, I'll burn in hell. These people will not leave me. These Yamadutas will take me and burn in hell forever. That's a fear. No. I don't want to go to hell. Jahannam, I don't want to go. Then another level is, Lord is doing so much for me. Let me do something for him. And that is duty. And we are trying to practice bhakti on the level of love. That I'm doing this particular activity for what? For the one who is loving me so much. I have to reciprocate back now by the same, obviously same love we cannot say, because we cannot love Krishna the way he loves all of us. There's no one in this world who loves us more than Krishna. No one. Because I think n number of times I've told, we have kicked Krishna, we have blasphemed Krishna, now we have spat on Krishna, we have done all nonsense with Krishna, but Krishna never leaves us. He's always there as Paramatma. He's always there taking care of us. He's always there guiding us as Chaitya Guru within and spiritual master or guru outside. So like this, Krishna is doing his part. He's just doing, like a selfless lover, he's just doing. Sometimes we have this one-sided love. In the movies and other places, they show that maybe the boy is in love with the girl and the girl is not interested. But the boy is very, very religious in loving her and is ready to do anything for her. Mm-hmm. Similarly, many times devotees say that, you know, Prabhuji, I feel it's one-sided love. Yes, you're absolutely correct. One-sided love from Krishna, not from your side. It's one-sided love from Krishna. We don't love Krishna. What love we have? We have any love? We are busy doing sense gratification in this world. Busy doing sense gratification and fulfilling our selfish desires. Every moment we just think about how can I enjoy. I'm talking about myself. You all are good. I'm talking about myself. So all the time we just keep thinking about this. We never think that, oh, what Krishna will feel if I do this. What my guru will feel if I do this. No, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do that. I should do this. I should do that. This will please Krishna. This will please guru. We don't think about all this. Our instant thing is, my mind has told to do this sense gratification. I will do it. I will enjoy. So this is what is our mood. We don't love Krishna. No. We shouldn't be an illusion. Many times people say, Prabhuji, I love Krishna so much. Oh, really? Now what are you doing full day? Are you remembering Krishna? Are you chanting full day? Are you doing devotional service? Huh, I do it, Prabhuji. Early morning for half an hour in the chanting session. Early morning, I join for some time. And then I love Krishna, so I'm doing that. Are you love Krishna means remembering Krishna all the time. We are so unfortunate. This much love is also not there for Krishna. Little bit also. So unfortunate. When we come to bhakti, we realize all this. I've heard so many times people telling us that, are love should be there in the heart. What are you people doing? Why are you people are showing off by wearing such clothes and having bead bag in the hand, chanting on the road, dancing and all this? You people just do show off. You ISKCON people. Are Baba, love is there in the heart. If it is there, it will come out also in the form of service. Yes? It's not about, I love Krishna so much. Prabhuji, I cannot tell you how much I love. Don't tell, please. I don't want to hear. Because we don't have any love for Krishna. Very, very, very minute. And that love will also be contaminated with our selfish desire that I'll get something from Krishna. So the point that I'm trying to make here is, how much Krishna loves us, we cannot comprehend also. He is that lover who never feels bad of anything, you know, that we say. Never. He's always in love with all of us. We are, because we are his part and parcel. And he's always trying to take us back to Godhead. Remembering all this when we fall in love with Krishna and when we practice bhakti, that is the highest level. So when we talk about these hellish planets, what will happen to me, these witnesses are there and all that. So we do bhakti in fear. If I don't, then these people will take me to hell. The Lord is doing this particular thing. I should also do something for him as beauty. But the ultimate thing is the love aspect that is there. Oh, Lord loves me so much. I should also reciprocate in some way. So this point, it has to be noted very clearly that obviously these witnesses and everything is there. But then if we are in love with Krishna, we can never go wrong. If we are in love with our guru, we can never go wrong in our activities. We will not commit sins. The problem comes because we are not in love with Guru or Krishna. We are in love with other things of this world, other things and other people of this world. The day we fall in love with Guru and Krishna, thinking that how much my Guru has done for me. He has lifted me from the kachara where I was lying, from the gutter where I was swimming. He lifted me from there. Now he has placed me to some high platform where at least I'm desiring to attain Krishna this lifetime. How great he is, how much he's doing for me. There's a very nice song which we sing every day in ISKCON while doing Guru Puja. There we say, Chakshudan dilo jay janme janme prabhu se divya gyan hriday prakashito. In these two lines, there's so much of pain that is there of the person who has written this song. He's saying, Chakshudan dilo jay janme janme prabhu se divya gyan hriday prakashito. Guru is doing so much. He is coming lifetime after lifetime. He is coming to do what? He is to give us this knowledge of Krishna consciousness. He is coming to give us this knowledge. And we take and we ignore. We take and we ignore. This is what we have been doing from so many lifetimes. We have been just doing. And we are expecting the Guru to come again and again. What sort of people we are? Just imagine we are in love with someone. And that person is ignoring us. Whenever you go close to that person, he gives a tight slap or kicks us with the leg. throws the chappal or boot on us, still we go? We will go to that person still?
Mm-hmm.
When chappal comes from there, we will throw another stone from here. That is what is our current situation. But look at Guru, look at the spiritual masters. They come again and again and again to deliver the sincere jivatmas who are there struggling in this world. And who sends the spiritual masters? It's Krishna who is sending them. He's saying, go take them, get them back. He's swimming in the gutter. No, tell him that he's swimming in the gutter. Pick him up from there and get him to me. How much these great souls are doing for us, how much Krishna is doing for us, thinking that when we start practicing bhakti, falling in love with them, then we can say, then we'll not go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, when the kid is in a lot of love with the parents, whenever parents say something, he'll follow.
Mm-hmm.
Even if friends are telling something, he'll like ignore all that. He will take all the insults from his friends, but he will not violate what his parents have told. Why? Because he loves his parents so much. Same thing applies here. We can never go wrong in our life. I mean, we can never sin in our life if we are in love with Krishna, understanding that how much Krishna loves all of us. So these 13 witnesses and all this are for those people who are very careless in their life and who are least bothered to practice bhakti. They're very much busy enjoying and committing sinful activities. For them, this is very important to understand. Oh, I'm not alone. There's many, many people watching me. Better I mind myself. I do proper activities, good activities, or else I'll go to hell and suffer. That is for those people who are doing all this. But for us as devotees, this doesn't matter much. Because for us, because our mood is we want to please Krishna, we want to please Guru. To please them, we are ready to go to any extent. So where is the question of committing sin? So this is a very important point to note. What is the mood of a devotee? And what is the mood of a person who is a bit pious, but still materialist? So in this way, we understand that we are never alone. All the time there is a watch. And this entire material nature works very, very flawlessly, where the final decision that is given, which body the person should enter, that is a flawless decision. Because there are so many witnesses. One witness can go wrong, second witness can go wrong, 13, 14, 15 or more than that, the witnesses which are there, how can they go wrong? And how can Paramatma go wrong? So in this way, entire universal administration of Krishna is working flawlessly under his guidance. Maya dhakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu nanena kaunteya jagat viparivartate. So here Krishna is saying, Maya dakshina, under my supervision, everything is working. And if it's Krishna's supervision, then how can there be any flaw, any bug in that particular code that Krishna is writing, or the particular situation, or the particular activity that Krishna is managing? How can there be any flaw? Right? So in this way, we understand that these witnesses, those people should fear who are still not very much keen about practicing bhakti and falling in love with Krishna. Those people should be very much fearful, thinking these people are watching every small thing they are noting. Every small thing. Just imagine, anything we are doing, there are 13 people always with us. And whatever we are doing, they are all noting. Just imagine how we will feel. You are sitting and you are doing your office work and the 13 people are standing around you. They all have a notebook and pen. They are writing something, they are looking at us. Can you imagine? So much of fear will be there. What are these people writing? What's wrong? What's going on? What did I do? Since we are not able to see that, we are living our life very boldly. Ha, chalo, whatever. Dekha jayega, whatever it is. So, all those who are not yet up to the mark of practicing devotional service should be very fearful and should make sure that we don't commit sins. Because we shouldn't go to hell. Come on, human life is meant for going back home, back to God, to Krishna, not to go to hell.
Yes.
So as soon as possible, we should come to a stage where we are doing proper activities in accordance with Shastra and we don't violate the Shastra. So this point, we should be very keen to follow, very keen. Come what may, whatever it is, committing sin is impossible in a devotee's life. That is meat eating. Where is the question of meat eating?
Mm-hmm.
Intoxication. Where is the question of intoxication? Only thing that we should get intoxicated is by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Not by anything else. Gambling. Where is the question of gambling? Everything belongs to Krishna. How can we gamble with Krishna's property? And illicit sex. Where is the question of illicit sex? No, when we are very much satisfied, you know, with having nice connection with Lord Shri Krishna. So in this way, the point is, there is no question of committing sin for devotees. Then there is no question of worrying about the 13 witnesses, you know, which are there. Yes. So with this, I would like to pause here. Any questions, please go ahead. Please post your questions. If you have any, I will try to answer. As you mentioned today, now we do come across some people who try to bring us down from the path of bhakti or give arguments on what we are doing is of no use. Even if we don't want to get into some arguments, these kind of statements compel us to defend our faith and devotion. How to deal in these situations? After you all spend some good number of years in Krishna consciousness, go fight with people. But now, the faith that many of us have is called as Komal Shraddha, that is innocent faith. And this innocent faith can be killed by atheistic people who are there. They can shake our faith completely in Krishna, in Guru, in Bhagavad Gita, and basically our entire path of bhakti. So ideally, as of now, better we change the topic and discuss something else. See, we all are, very intelligent, and we know how to change the topic. So we can just ignore, we can say, "Arre chalo, ye sab hota rehta. Let's discuss this particular thing. Oh, you know what happened? Oh, that gossip." So we should know how to change the topic as of now. But in future, when we are thoroughly read with Bhagavad Gita, when we have attended good number of sessions, when we ourselves are strictly practicing bhakti, then we can go ahead and defend our philosophy, we can defend ourselves and various other this one. Yeah, everyone's life this is going to happen. Many people will come and they'll start speaking, and mostly it will be family members only. More than outsiders, it will be family members. Now this is a very humorous thing, that before coming to Krishna consciousness, family members are least bothered about whom we are worshipping, what we are doing, least bothered about all that. As soon as we come to Krishna consciousness, they start saying, "Hey, this is not our family tradition. What are you doing?" Arre Baba, before, when the person was zero, he was going against the family tradition. At that time, you didn't have any problem. Now when the person is practicing bhakti, you have the problem. Mm-hmm. I still remember when my friend started practicing bhakti, now his mother, she started telling, "Hey, what are you doing? You're so young. You should have a girlfriend. You should drink alcohol at least once in a while. Come on. It's like, what are you doing?" So when I was joining ashram, when I was accepting the monkhood, so people were saying, "Hey, you are going away from your family and all this. What are you doing?" Then I was giving some arguments. So I said, "See, what if I ran away with a girl? What would have happened? I would have never come to home. I would have been somewhere else. So this is better." No, they're saying, no, that would have been better than this. That currently the society has got degraded. People's mindset is degraded. Since they don't practice, they want to pull others also down. So we should be aware of all these things. And we should be so determined to practice bhakti that looking at the fire of bhakti in us, the person should get scared of getting burnt and should run away from us. We should be so fired up, whatever it is. Now, as soon as the person starts talking, you should be able to see the fire. And then you'll run away from that place. But then, see, the important thing is, are we practicing bhakti intensely or not? We will not be able to do justice, to give back the argument, if we are not practicing bhakti intensely. If we are committing sin, and along with that, we are defending or trying to do whatever, we'll not be able to do justice to that particular argument that is there. We'll not be able to give our best because we ourselves are not practicing properly. I always tell all my Bhakti Vriksha leaders who are there, all the senior Bhakti Vriksha leaders, that your practice should be so strong that as soon as your Bhakti Vriksha member is asking you some question, and when you are speaking on that topic, just by your talk, which comes from your daily practice, will obviously influence them. There is no need of elaborate proofs that is needed. If our practice is strong, if we are pure in our endeavors, then there is no question of losing some argument. It's all about how we are practicing, what conviction we have within and all that. If a conviction is strong, if our practice is good, then no one can shake us. So this is what is my answer, you know, to your question. Hope this helps you. 1 year back before joining Gita class, my mindset was like, I don't want baby. Why should I have this big responsibility and scared? But now everything changed. And by Krishna's blessings, oh, I'm carrying 5 weeks over. Jay, just wanted to tell, my husband is not a devotee. And in ISKCON Mysore, they don't have do Garbhadhan Samskar. No problem. So let's all pray for Vinut Mataji, that may a very, very wonderful devotee of Lord Krishna, you know, comes from her womb. And may he become a pure devotee and go back home, back to God at this very lifetime, carrying his parents also. Let us all chant Maha Mantra for Mataji and his baby within the womb. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So after the baby is born, there are various samskaras that you can do. So like the naming ceremony, which is called as Namakarana Samskara. Now there will be something called a Simanta Noyan Samskar. That is, I think that happens at the either in 7th month or 9th month. You can contact a Bhakti Vriksha leader. They will help you to understand. That is called as baby shower function, where devotees come home, they do kirtan, they bless us, you know, with their, they bless the baby and the mother. That is when the baby is in the womb. And when the baby comes out of the womb, then there are some samskaras. There is one samskar called Mundan Samskar, where the hair is removed for the first time. And then there is a naming ceremony, Namakarana Samskar. And few more are there. So I don't have much knowledge of this. Only superficially I have some knowledge. So ask your Bhakti Vriksha leaders and the senior leaders who are there. They will help you with this. But make sure you do samskar. These samskars actually help the child to become a devotee. All those people, you know, who have not been gone through samskaras, at least now after practicing bhakti and reading about it, when I talk to people and try to understand, now it's pathetic actually. The kids are pathetic. They are not less than any demon. So samskaras actually, samskar means what? An activity that purifies the person. So all these activities will purify the person, right? So try your best. There is a book also called The Samskaras. In ISKCON, we have multiple books on this, which talks about the Dasha Samskara, starting from the Garbhadhan Samskar till the Antheshti Samskar when the person dies. So all that is there. So we can go through and see what all things we can do. But yes, as you're saying, you're carrying now. So one thing which is very important is we don't get into nonsensical talks. We don't get into any of the, we don't watch movies. We don't hear Bollywood, Hollywood, Tollywood, whatever nonsensical songs. We don't get into arguments or gossips. All the time, what we have to do is we have to chant the holy names of the Lord. We have to hear from Srimad Bhagavatam, read Krishna book, read the Leelas of Krishna, read Bhagavad Gita. And even at the time of delivery, you know, chanting of the holy names is what is recommended. And having prasadam, only prasadam. Every grain that is put in the mouth should be offered to Krishna. Because now the baby will get nourishment directly from the food that the mother is going to eat. So if the mother is eating karmic food, that is going to restaurants and eating and going to movie theater, watching movies, eating popcorn there and all that, it will be very difficult. I'll tell you a proof. This I was in my school days and one of my relative, that lady was carrying. And one day we had gone to watch movie. So in the morning show, we watched a Telugu movie. And in the afternoon or evening, we went to watch a Kannada movie in the theater. So everyone knows in my house, Kannada and Telugu. So we were telling that lady, you go home, how can you sit for such a long time? She was like, no, I'll also come, I'm interested. Now she has begot that girl, the daughter. She's proper Tollywood girl. Is there exactly behaving, you know, like the trying to be a heroine, trying to be a celebrity. So mothers have to be very, very careful. Fathers also have to be very careful, not getting into any nonsensical talk or whatever. But we can also have this Maha Mantra box, you know, where Prabhupada's chanting is there, the famous tune of Hare Krishna. That can always be played in the room. Even while sleeping at night, it can be always played. And prasadam thing, you know, it's very, very important. Nothing should go in the mouth which is not prasadam. That's very important. So we can request people around, you know, to, you know, give prasadam or at least cook without onion garlic. And you know, something can be done. So take guidance from a Bhakti Vriksha leader. You know, they will help. These are some of the important points which I tell all the Matajis who, when they say that they're carrying. Because we are very greedy. We want more devotees, you know, to come. So we expect that even your baby will also be a very nice devotee. Hare Krishna. What is love? How in this material world we can understand true love or unconditional love? Unconditional love exists in today's world. Small fight with husband sometimes hurts a lot. I start thinking, ki, I'm doing so many things for everyone, but nobody ever think of me. Is it right to think like that? Or I should think it's because of my karma. How to become calm in situations? Okay, so a blunt answer to your question is there is no unconditional love in this world. We are conditioned souls. How can we give unconditional love? Tell me. How is it possible? We are conditioned souls. So our love will also be conditioned. In some conditions, our love will manifest. When someone gives us gift, oh, I love you so much. When someone speaks something good, oh, I love you so much. Someone speaks something hurting, oh, I hate this person. How can he speak this? How can he do this? Or whatever. So we don't have unconditional love. Unconditional love, only two personalities can give in our life, Guru and Krishna. Because they are the real well-wishers for all of us. Every other relationship that we have is based on condition. Like, I want this to be done. If you do, I love you. If you don't do, forget about it. So this point is very, very important, you know, to note that we don't have unconditional love in this world. There is one love that comes very close to the love of Guru and Krishna. That is mother's love for a newborn baby. Newborn, not the grown-up. Newborn baby. So there the mother has selfless love where, now, even at dead of night, when the baby cries, she gets up from her sleep, she feeds the baby. When the baby passes urine and stool, she will clean and all that. So that's very close. But then all the other relationships, it's all about give and take that is there. So we shouldn't get agitated too much because everyone is in three modes of material nature and they will keep changing. That's fact of life. We might do n number of things, but they will not reciprocate. There have been times when parents have done so much for the kids and the kids, finally they ask the question when the parents are old, what did you do for me? And parents are like, what is this question? What is this question? So there are many, many times we have got, you know, some old people who come and who say this and they cry also saying that, you know, my child is asking this question. What should I answer? I was the one who held this child for 9 months in my womb. I was the one who helped the child to walk. I was the one who cleaned stool and urine. I did all that. But then, you know, look at the question that he has asked. So this is something expected. We shouldn't be surprised. Oh, how this happened? This is material world. This is a world, you know, which is not less than a hell. So it's going to be like this. So the point is, how much we take shelter of Krishna, that much we will remain calm and peaceful in our life. Because we will have a greater vision where we will see that all these people who are there, you know, who in my life, all of them are under three modes of material nature. And all of them are going to become mad after some time. They'll behave the way they want. So why to get worried so much? This thought, this perception will come only when we have taken shelter of Krishna. Otherwise, you know, we will be like ups and downs. When someone speaks nice, we'll go up. And when someone hurts us, we'll go down. Up, down, up, down. So this is something which is not expected. So what are we supposed to do? Intense devotional service and take shelter of Krishna, which will keep us stable all the time. And we'll ignore whatever people say. Now, as soon as, you know, you're saying your husband or whatever, whoever fights with you, now, whenever they say something, then, you know, you look at them as a mode of ignorance person. Even mode of ignorance. I don't think I have to get into, you know, fight with you. Okay, let's talk tomorrow morning in mode of goodness. You know, let's take a pause at this time. So when people get into mode of ignorance and passion, people fight. So answer to your question is, take shelter of Krishna every single day. Practice in such a way that whenever such things happen, we'll not get affected. And this I'm not telling theory. I'm sure here we have got 65 plus participants. There'll be at least few people who have already experienced this. I'm sure. My challenge, my bet. I've heard also from many people already. Hope this helps you. All ISKCON temples across the world are in network. If we want to build a temple at our place, how we can do it? So it's not about we can build temple just like that, ISKCON temples. We need to have devotees first at that particular place, and devotees should be eager to build the temple. That's how, you know, it will happen. And it's a long procedure, you know, where now currently, I wanted to tell this also, I forgot. So currently the land which we are going to purchase, so the legal verification is almost done. Now this papers will go to the higher authorities in ISKCON. So we have ISKCON Bureau and so many others. So it will go through that. They will sanction, and then, you know, then we can purchase the land. And then after that, construction will start. So there's a procedure that is there. So when devotees are there, actually it will happen. So first is preaching. We have to preach in that area, make the more devotees. And then when the need comes of a place where everyone can congregate, now then we can think of a temple. Till then, everything we can do in the house itself. And one more important thing is, in next 2-3 weeks, or we are expecting before Janmashtami, this land deal should get done. But we are still lacking 50 lakhs. So I request all of you, the ones who have not yet contributed, please come forward, contribute. It's really tight now. And we don't want to take loan because it's not proper. It's Krishna's temple. Why should we take loan for Krishna's temple? So this has to be built by devotees only. Mm-hmm. We are not even asking any materialist to give any donation. We are asking devotees only, because the land we want to purchase with devotees' money. Temple construction and all, let anyone and everyone can come and give donation. So we are not doing any advertisement on Facebook or any other place. We are not recording videos also for this, because we want devotees to come forward and purchase a land for Krishna's temple. And then, you know, we can, after that, we will ask the non-devotees or materialists who are there. So all of you all, you know, please come forward, please help. You know, 50 lakhs is not a small amount. Only when everyone comes forward and contributes, I think something will happen, or else very difficult. Yes. Like 30,000, 50,000, or, you know, the ones who are well-to-do, 1 lakh, 5 lakh, 10 lakh. Yes. No, we can give. We can give something for Krishna, can be done. What is the problem? Yes. Because giving money is much more easier than giving life. Yes. So we cannot give up our family. We cannot give up, you know, so many responsibilities. So at least the hard-earned money can be given up to tell Krishna, oh Krishna, I cannot give up this. At least, you know, I'm giving this. Please accept. With love and devotion, I'm offering. So very, very important. Maybe for this, you have to prepone or postpone your the purchase, plan that you have done. That's all okay. For Krishna, anything is okay. Yes. So possible, please contribute. Very, very high time for us, you know, to purchase the land. Once the land is purchased, then everything else will fall in place. Okay, let me take one more question. If father loves his child, he will help him even without call by him. But why Krishna needs a call to help? Because now the problem is Krishna is coming to help. The child is kicking. That is the problem. Now, just imagine, we are holding a scorpion. Scorpion is in the pond. We want to put the scorpion back in the waters. We are, lifting the scorpion, it is biting. No, we leave it. Again, it is lifting. We are lifting the scorpion, it is biting. We are just dropping it. So the point is, the scorpion is not ready to take the help, no. So currently, that is what is our situation. We are not ready to take help. We are so egoistic, so fallen, so proud of nothing, that we are not ready to surrender to Krishna and accept the help. See, Krishna is helping us every single moment. That's why sitting as Paramatma in the heart. All the time he's helping. But we fools, we are not ready to take help from Krishna. We are not ready. Because we are so contaminated, we are not ready to take help from Krishna. So the point is, it's not that Krishna is not helping. Even if we don't call out for Krishna, Krishna will help. Krishna is sustaining ants and elephants. Are they calling out for help? No. Even for us, before coming to Krishna consciousness, where were we calling out for Krishna? Where were we chanting? But Krishna was helping. So the point is, when should we call for Krishna? When we are eager to go back home, back to Godhead. Then Krishna will lift us and take us back home. Even if we don't call, he's eager to take us back home. Prabhupada writes in all the purport that more eager than us, Krishna is eager to take us back home, back to Godhead. So Krishna is ready to do anything. That's why he's sending Guru. That's why he's inspiring us as Chaitya Guru in the heart, as Paramatma in the heart. He's giving us inspiration to chant. He's giving us inspiration to attend these discourses. But the problem is, till the point we don't cry out for Krishna's help, our heart, which is like a stone, will never melt. And since it is not melting, we are not able to receive that help or take that help from Krishna. Currently, our situation is like a vessel having many holes. Krishna is pouring water in the form of his mercy, but what is happening, everything is draining out. So we have to block those holes very nicely by crying out for Krishna, calling for Krishna's help. Because when we call for Krishna, we're taking a lower position. When we call for Krishna, we're surrendering to Krishna. All that will actually block these holes. And then when the mercy flows, mercy is anyways flowing. At that time, we'll be able to hold the mercy. Mm-hmm. But never ever we can say that Krishna is not helping. Always Krishna is helping, always. He's helping an atheistic fellow. He's helping a Mayavadi. He's helping a materialist. He's helping a devotee. He's helping everyone. He's helping ants and worms and birds and reptiles, and everyone is helping. So this point should be very clear. Mm-hmm. Never we can say that Krishna, why should I ask him not to help? Why can't he help me just like that? What can father help a child? Tell me, what can a father help a child in this world? Mm-hmm. Max, he can just take care of the bodily needs that is there. Krishna is taking care of from so many lifetimes. So many lifetimes. He's carrying us like this in his hand, you know, from one life to another, one life to another. Right. So this comparison of father helping a child of this world and Krishna helping a living entity is not at all apt. So never ever, you know, we can compare this, because Krishna's love for each and every living entity, he calls or he does not call, is the same and intense. Hope this helps. Does ISKCON temple perform yagya or havan to please Krishna on devotee's request? Yeah, there are in our temple here, there is something called a Swati Nakshatra Homa. So on that day, the devotees, they get it done. Even for Godan and other things, they do some yagya that is there. Now, Janmashtami is coming up. So on Janmashtami also, we'll have some Tulsi Archana and all that. So we'll be doing all that. Very nice session, but yes, you are driving in fourth gear, much needed. If Krishna sent us to this planet by our will, why doesn't take back to him by our will? That's what we are not willing. No, that is the problem. We have to will to go back home, back to Godhead. Now that's what we are doing when we are chanting. What are we telling Krishna? Oh Radha, oh Krishna, oh Srimati Radharani, oh Lord Sri Krishna, please engage me in your loving devotional service. We are calling out for Krishna. Mm-hmm. So when we call out for Krishna piteously, yes, he will come and take us back to Godhead. Mm-hmm. But the answer is now we are not willing. We don't have that strong will. Suppose today Krishna comes and he says, chalo, we'll go. Are we ready? We'll tell Krishna, no, my son's exam is there tomorrow. Let me finish that and then I'll come. So we are not ready yet. No, we are not ready yet. Any plan for any event in coming Janmashtami with physical association with senior devotees? My wish and desire to have a physical association, which I believe would enhance. Yeah, but then I don't think physical association is possible, but we'll have a grand event on Janmashtami. That is 29th of August. We'll start from morning 4:30 and go up till night 12:30. So we'll full day, we'll have many events and lots of activities will be there. And obviously everything will be online. And there'll be grand Mahabhishekam that will be there, where the Lordship Shri Shri Radha and Krishna will be bathed very nicely, very beautifully. And they'll be very happy on that day. And obviously a grand decoration and many things will be there. But physical association this time is difficult. We have not done proper samskar for our child since we were not aware. Now my son is 5 years. Is there any samskar that we can do? Please ask your Bhakti Viksha leader. No, they will refer the book and tell you, if there is any samskar that can be done. Huh? Jai, Vinut Mataji, so many people are praying for you. He's taking shelter. Oh, Monomita Mataji is in Mayapur. Mataji, please pray for all of us. Is taking shelter of pure devotee and getting attached to pure devotee equivalent to taking shelter of Krishna? Yes, that's how it is. Because, see, as of now, our situation is we cannot see Krishna. Mm-hmm. We cannot experience Krishna. But Krishna is coming in the form of a guru, in the form of pure devotee. Saksha dharitvena samasta shastre uktastadhaba veta eva sadbihi kintu prabhuryah priya eva tasya vande guroho shri charanaravinda. Kintu Prabhur Yaha Priya Eva Tasya. He's very, very dear to Krishna. A pure devotee is very, very dear to Krishna. So an entity who is very dear to Krishna, if we are dear to that entity, to that personality, it's equivalent to being very dear to Krishna. So getting attached to the lotus feet of Guru is what is needed at the present moment. And the attachment to Guru's lotus feet will actually result in the attachment to Krishna's lotus feet. So that's how it is. Hope this helps you. Yes, it's equivalent. Basically, the answer is yes, it's equivalent. How to thank God, how to love God. God has helped me many times. I'm unable to thank and love. So our way to express love is by practicing intense devotional service. Never ever we can slacken bhakti. We should come to 16 rounds of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, follow four regulative principles, do deity worship, do these basic things which are there. If we really feel that we have to express love for Krishna, we can do that. So that will prove that yes, we love Krishna, we want to do something for Krishna. But just lip service will not do. Krishna, I love you. All this will not do. What will actually do is service, proper service to Krishna. Tongue service is expected, accepted. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So 16 rounds of chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will please Srila Prabhupada, will please Krishna. I realize that I love for Lord as my duty. Okay. Is it possible for the soul that has left the gross body to remember Krishna in its subtle body and escape from the cycle of birth and death? Yes, it is possible if the person comes in touch with the pure devotee. Yes. A person who has attained Krishna, if he becomes merciful and that ghost, basically talking about ghost. So the ghost is there. If he comes in touch with a pure devotee and pure devotee is very merciful unto him, then he can deliver him from the subtle body also. But mostly what happens is the ghost is given a gross body, and that's how he can continue practicing bhakti from that particular life. But it is possible. It is possible. How to celebrate Krishna birthday at home? I'll speak about it. Maybe next Thursday I'll speak about it. I have prayed the lotus feet of Radha Madhav, Panchatattva, Narasimha Dev to shower their blessings onto all wonderful devotees at ISKCON Whitefield. Thank you, Monohita Mataji. My father said that what is a need of attending ISKCON session? We already know everything. That is the problem. That is the problem. When we say that we know everything, means we don't know anything. That is the problem. If we know everything, then we would have been completely surrendered to Krishna. Completely. Yes. Where entire day, 24/7, will be Krishna conscious. 24/7. But if that is not happening, means we don't know anything. And the other point is, even if we know things, when we come in association of devotees, when we attend sessions, like so many devotees are coming on a weekday. So that goes on to say that devotees are so eager to hear about Krishna, to progress in bhakti. So when we come in association of such people, what happens? Our faith in the Lord increases more. Our faith in Maha Mantra increases, and we'll be able to practice bhakti very intensely. So association of devotees is very, very important. An International Society for Krishna Consciousness established by the founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada, the main purpose is this: to give a platform to common public to come and associate with devotees so that they can also become devotees. So these sessions are a very intense association of devotees. This is what is the point. Hope this helps you. I meant that the soul has just left the gross body, and then there are a chance for the soul in the subtle body. No, it's like at that time in the subtle body is already on the journey to another body. So where is the question of remembering? In fact, when the soul leaves the gross body, I mean going to another body with the subtle body. So the soul in the subtle body, or the entire entity with the subtle body, there's so much of pain that the soul is going through. Because he's separated from the gross body. And he sees the body is getting burnt. So there's so much of pain. So in that pain, remembering Krishna is not possible. Very difficult. Very difficult. So remembering Krishna in this gross body is what is possible. Where by the mercy of Guru and Gauranga, we'll be able to remember the Lord. Subtle body and all, after leaving the body, it's very difficult. Very difficult. There was ad from Hare Krishna TV that there is Bhagavad Gita course. It costs 200. Why are they asking for money for knowledge? That's okay. That's not a big problem. 200 rupees entire Bhagavad Gita they are teaching. What is the problem? This charge is sometimes important to get sincere and serious people. Because sometimes free means people will come and go. Like we did free course, right? Last year we started September. First session, 800 people came. And after that, you know, it reduced. And finally, sincere people were only 100 people. So sometimes there are different centers of ISKCON where they do charge something. Very minimum, because 200 is a very, very minimum thing. There are so many other so-called spiritual organizations where they're charging 10,000, 12,000 and all, you know, just for a week of sessions. No, so this is nothing in front of that. So these meager amounts of 200, 150 or whatever, it's just to filter out the unserious people and get only the sincere and serious ones. Okay, let me see if something on YouTube. Okay, when one dies and the soul has left the gross body, okay, which is the next location in Whitefield planned for temple construction? Exact location. That's near the Whitefield police station. This is what is the current, this one. Very soon we'll publish the address also. So once we buy the land, we can publish. So till then, we'll not be able to publish. But it's in that area, no, Whitefield police station area. Okay, so let's end for today. It's 9:35. So Janmashtami is coming, 29th of this month. It's our very dear Lord's birthday. So let's prepare our consciousness for the same. From 21st of August till 29th, we have series of sessions by various senior devotees on the Krishna Leela every single day in the evening at 7:30. And Saturday, Sundays, it will be morning and evening. So a huge thing is planned, and we have invited people almost from all over the world, different devotees. As per my knowledge, one devotee is coming from, is going to speak from UK, someone from Australia, and from Vrindavan, from Mayapur, from ISKCON Whitefield Ashram. So we'll be having these different sessions. From 21st, it will start. Before that, we'll have, maybe I'll speak something on how to celebrate at home, maybe in the next session or after that on one Thursday. And also the donation drive will start. You know, all the ones who are interested to donate for the Abhishekam, for Tulsi Archana, for the outfits of the Lord, for jewelry of the Lord, and for the decoration that is there. It's all welcome. We'll circulate the message for that. Now you can participate, you can help support. And all the Lakshmi that will remain after the Janmashtami celebration, all that will be used for temple land purchase and construction. So this is the plan as of now. Okay. So let's end for today and let's meet next Thursday and let's have another session on fourth gear. Hare Krishna. Let's chant three times the Maha Mantra and end for today.